You got me now? All right, good. I was just about to say we're having some electrical problems. It's spreading. Now we're trying to, we've got some buzzing in the sound system because of the lights, so we've been turning them off part of the service. So we're working on it. It's coming along. Well, welcome to this new month of a new year. We're going to be looking at mystery for this month. I'm going to ask you to do something unusual. How many of you are doing some kind of deliberate practice to expand your consciousness? How many are doing some kind of deliberate practice to heal? How many are working on forgiveness? How many are working on love? How many are working on faith? All right, yeah, you see the pattern here, right? I'm going to ask you to consider setting all that aside for 1 week. Just 1 week. Just put it over. Don't forget it. Don't stop doing it altogether. Just put it over to the side just a little bit. And I want to challenge you, and hopefully it'll be easier after the sermon today, to allow yourself to focus just on mystery for this week rather than all those other things that you're doing. Because you can go back and do those. It's all right. We're not going to forsake all that. That's it. All right. Everybody say, let there be sound. Got it. Well, our affirmation for this month is, I allow space for the unknown and the unknowable. I allow space for the mystery. And many times, and this is a good thing, of course, many of those on the spiritual path have their lives so full of healing and so full of study and so full of forgiveness and so full of meditation that it's full. And you don't have room for much else. You know, there's nothing any sadder to me than somebody on the spiritual path who's working so hard they're sad and they're worn out. So how are you doing? I'm going great. Yeah, I'm getting really spiritually mature here, yeah. So this week, oh, you've met that person, huh? So this week, I invite you to put all that stuff just to the side a little bit and allow room for the mysterious. And we're going to talk more about that in just a second. Now, usually when I speak about something, it's what? What is it? Give me a definition. Let me see what I have to work with here. And I looked in the dictionary, and the best definition I could come up with for mystery is something that is difficult or impossible to understand or to explain. Okay, that sounds reasonable. Usually my second place to go, if not the first place, is the Bible. What does the Bible have to say with it? Well, interestingly enough, the word mystery appears only 6 times in the Bible, which surprised me a little bit. I figured Revelation would have 40 anyway, but there's only 6 all the way through, so that's okay. There are some backdoor references to mystery that I found, and one of them is this from the 4th chapter of Mark. For there is nothing hid save that it should be manifested. Neither was anything made secret but that it should come to light. Any with ears to hear, let them hear. Now, this scripture gives us a perspective about mystery. And it shows me that there are 2 things about mystery. It's a 2-sided coin, if you will. One of them is the hiddenness of mystery. That scripture says, for there is nothing hid, as if this thing being hid was deliberate. And then again, neither was anything made secret. So it seems to be the very nature of mystery to be hidden, deliberately, intentionally. Now, why in the world, if there's anything worthwhile in the mystery that's being hidden, why would it be hidden from us? Is God teasing us and taunting us? Hey, I've got something, but it's hidden and you don't know where it is. Yeah, that's a lot of, you love that and doing that to your younger siblings, but somehow that doesn't quite fit with God. So why is it? Is it a carrot on a stick to make us look harder and work harder? Why is it that it is hidden? I think there are 2 reasons that anything is hidden from us. One is to protect what is hidden, what is valuable, from the stupid. I mean, I didn't. I was going to use a different word there. is to protect that which is hidden from the ignorant. Okay? For those who don't know what's going on. Why is it that kids don't get driver's licenses when they're 8? Why is it we have age limitations on buying cigarettes and buying alcohol? Because we need to protect. So on one hand, we're protecting the truth from those who don't know what the truth is all about. It was interesting that when I first got into Reiki, how many years ago? 30 years ago, I guess. It was still relatively new in the United States. And there was one person who was considered to be the grand master of Reiki. And for those of you who don't know, Reiki is an energetic healing system, an energy worker system. And the founder, or one of the early founders, finally died. And then there was this big argument over who was the grand master. And then there were two grand masters. And out of those two grand masters, they started generating other people who were teaching, becoming masters. And there became just about as many techniques of Reiki as there were masters running around out there. That's why the truth is protected and hidden. Because there are those who don't have the common sense to use things properly and to appreciate things. As I was going through my training, at the second stage, you're given some symbols that are used in the treatments with Reiki. And my teacher was very, very traditional. And he showed us the symbols on a piece of paper, and we had to memorize them on the spot, and we couldn't take them with us. He burned them, burned the paper copies before we left because it had to be kept secret. And I really honored that. I appreciated that because I knew what was going to happen when it wasn't secret anymore. I heard this story of this guy who was a Reiki master going around attuning people to Reiki, and he had some copies of the symbols that I spoke about a moment ago. And whoever taught him had made copies of the symbols on a bad Xerox machine. And there were squiggles and marks and stuff on the paper from the bad Xerox machine. And he was teaching it as if you had to use all those squiggles and marks as part of the symbol. That's why it's kept secret. That's why it's hidden from those who don't know how to use it properly. That's one reason. The other reason is that it is to protect the ignorant from the power, from the truth. How many remember that movie with Harrison Ford, the Raiders of the Lost Ark? Remember that? And the bad archaeologist got his hands on the Ark of the Covenant. So he set up this thing and he was going to open this thing. And he opened it and he looked in and the power, the energy of the Ark went whoosh, just melted him. That's one of the reasons why this marvelous stuff is kept hidden to protect us from it until we learn how to use it, until we can really appreciate it. I read a couple of years ago where an indulgent mother got for her graduating from high school son a Ferrari for the night. He didn't even make it to the prom before he wrecked it. That's why these things are hidden, to protect us and to protect that truth that is hidden. So that's one aspect of mystery, is that it is hidden. And again, the scripture says to us, "For there is nothing hid, and then neither was anything made secret." So that's one aspect, that's one side of the coin. The other side of the coin is that it is revealed. Because the scripture goes on to say, "For there is nothing hid, save that it should be manifested." Didn't say might be. Possibly, is that it should be manifested. Neither was anything made secret, but that it should come to light. So it is as much the nature of mystery to be hidden as it is to be revealed. It's a part of the process. It's a part of the nature of mystery that it is made known, that it is brought to light. Now, a bunch of questions come up for me when I see that, when I realize that nature of mystery. One is, why is it revealed? Why does it show up? And again, it is the very nature of it. It wants to be revealed. That which is hidden, the truth, the power that is hidden for a time, that is mysterious in that way, has of its nature to be revealed. There's this push that is there. So how is it revealed? It's revealed when we, in the right state of mind, see mystery beginning to appear and we follow it. You know, a lot of times we take this thing of doing really seriously as human beings, right? We've got to do something. We've got to accomplish something. We've got to make it happen. Figure it out. Fix it. You ever feel like that? You ever had anybody telling you that? Yeah. How's that working for you? I don't particularly like Dr. Field, but the phrase works anyway. We're so busy doing that we forget to just to stand back and allow something to happen. How many of you get aggravated at traffic lights, red lights, especially in Fort Lauderdale? Yeah. Yes. Can you do anything about that? Can you fuss and cuss and carry on? Sure you can. Does that help at all? No, it doesn't. So the best thing to do is to sit at the traffic light saying it's going to change in a minute, and that's cool. Let's let it be. Let it unfold in its own time. And so is it with mystery, that we're able to allow the mystery to begin to unfold and participate in it, not guide it, not direct it, not make it happen, but allow it to happen and watch. We don't get up in the morning and put on our mystery revealing clothes and go out into the world. I'm going to find me some mystery to unfold. I'm going to find something hidden to bring to light. No, it doesn't work like that. When I had somewhere to hike and had woods, and I'm sorry to you native Floridians, but we don't have that here, in the mountains somewhere, and I'd take my camera out, and some days I'd go out thinking, I'm going to take a picture. I'm going to take a great picture today and go looking for it. Nothing. And then I realized if I would take my camera and get centered and just go walking in the woods and just say, here I am, and just look around. It's like, woo! And over here, and I found a tiny little flower back behind a rock. And that's what it wanted to have its picture taken. And I'm walking along, and I feel a little nudge over here. And behind, on the other side of a pine log, is a bunch of bright orange, tiny little mushrooms about big as a hat pin. Amazing. I never saw them when I went looking for them. But when I let them look for me, I found them. So that's the way that we discover mystery and uncover mystery, is to participate in its own unveiling. Now, another question comes up is when? I'm tired of waiting. When is this thing going to happen? Well, the Greek language has a lot of words for words that are single words in our language, like love. You've heard that thing about the three kinds of love from Greek. Well, there are two kinds of time in Greek. One of them is called chronos, and that means tick-tock time. If you pay $10 for your watch, it's a Timex. If you pay $300 for your watch, it's a watch. If you pay $3,000 for it, it's a chronometer, right? So chronos is a Greek word that means tick-tock time, minutes as they go by like this. There's another word, however, for time called kairos, and that means the right time. What time do you pick a peach?
Well, 4:36, we'll pull that sucker off the tree, right?
No, you pick it when it's time, when the opportunity is there. The Greeks had a god called kairos, who's the son of Zeus, and he was the god of opportunity. So kairos is about opportunity. It's about the right time for something to happen. And a mystery will be revealed at the right time, not tick-tock time. So that brings me to another question. Who gets to see this? Who gets to participate? And that's anyone whose eyes are open and ears are open. There's a passage of scripture from 1 Corinthians, first chapter. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. So as we're thinking about this matter of interacting with mystery, we think, well, I'm not smart enough to do that. I don't have a position. I don't have a title. I don't have the education. I don't have whatever. Fill in the blank. that you don't have, thinking that disqualifies you from uncovering, discovering, participating in the unfoldment of mystery. But how often is it that God chooses, as Scripture says, the foolish things to us to serve in that capacity? In the ancient royal courts, who was it that often gave the king the right answer, the correct answer? It was the fool, the jester. And while all the wise men came and offered their advice, at the end, the king would bring in the fool, and usually he had the answer. So we don't have to worry about being smart enough. We don't have to worry about having an elected position. We don't have to worry about being paid. We don't have to worry about being smart enough. Any one of us with ears to hear and eyes to see can be a part of the unfolding of mystery all around us. All of us can do that. Even if you've never done anything remotely like that before, you can also participate in it. And that's important for us. So mystery is this two-sided coin. There is that aspect of it that is hidden, and there is that aspect of being revealed. Now, what I'm encouraging you to do and inviting you to do this week as you put aside some of your other practices and the things that take your energy and your time is to allow room, make room for mystery around you. Now, again, it doesn't mean you're going to go out searching for mystery, because you won't find it if you do that. But if you go out into the world and say, here I am, here I am, I want to be a part of the unfolding of mystery in my world, and see what happens. I invite you to give yourself to this experience, to embrace the joy of the hiddenness of mystery and to embrace the joy of the revealing of mystery. Now, go out into the world, and there are people all around you. Go out in the world with this idea of allowing room for mystery and look around. Do you ever see any mysterious people? Yeah. You ever seen anybody that you didn't really know about? People you haven't met? People you've wondered about? You know, I wrote a poem about this, actually. I was in Chicago one time going through the airport, and my plane was being deplaned, and this guy got off the plane, and he was only about this tall. He was a black man, and his skin was so black it was blue, and he just glowed, and he walked along, and he looked like he really should have had a crown on and a train and somebody following along, but he just had this air about him that was amazing, and I regret so much not going up to him saying, wow, who are you? Because he just had that air about him. Now, I'm not saying you do that all over the place. Some people wouldn't understand that, but be open to it. If the opportunity, if the time is right, to talk to somebody that you find mysterious, why not? Put yourself in that person's presence and see what happens. See what gets unfolded. There are a lot of people around you. There are a lot of mysterious people around you. You won't go lacking for people in your world. There's so many other things out there that we can engage with from this perspective of the mysterious. What about food? I had somebody tell me a while back about jicama. How many of you know about jicama? Okay. How many of you don't know about jicama? Let me ask it that way. Oh, okay. And I thought, jicama, what in the world is that? I never heard of it. So I went to the store and finally found one. They're not terribly easy to find. And here's this ugly looking thing. It's a root vegetable, kind of like a turnip. But it has skin like a potato. Brown and kind of gnarly looking, and I thought, okay, let's see what this is going to be. So I got it, and you have to be careful peeling the thing. It's a little bit challenging there. And I took a bite of it. Oh, it's like a cross between an apple and a potato. It has the texture of a potato, but it has its sweetness about it in the crunch. Oh, it's wonderful. And you can saute it, you can put it in salad, it makes slaw, jicama, and apple salad. Great stuff. That was my involvement in that mystery. So there may be all kinds of opportunities you have to, hey, here's some kind of food that you've never heard of before. Wow. What if you just watch it and see what happens? What if you open yourself up to engaging in that experience with the food? Interesting, huh? What about experiences out in the world? What about the things that are mysterious in the world? We talked about traffic lights. You know how traffic lights work? No, you don't. It's a mystery. How about just being in that mystery? Because you have to deal with them all the time. I mean, you can't go anywhere half a mile without encountering one of them. Why not make it an interesting experience? Say, there's a mystery. Wow, here I am watching this mystery. And just see what happens. I had a poem come one time from watching a traffic light. Something got revealed there. There are all kinds of things in the world. Any of you really understand the mystery of parachutes? I mean, how that really, really works? I have an idea, but I'm not sure how it really works. And even when I jumped out of an airplane at my 50th birthday, I didn't really know how it worked. I was just hoping it would work. And that was an incredible experience with mystery, because I gave myself into that mystery and it got me down to the ground just fine. I would have gotten up off the ground, jumped in a plane, and done it again. It was really a great story here. There's evidently kind of like a subculture that skydivers have, like skateboarders and snowboarders and those kind of folks that have those specific interests. And evidently when you go on vacation, you find an airport. If you're a skydiver, when you're on vacation, you go find an airport and hang out. I'm not sure why they do that, but I was going to jump on my 50th birthday, and the guy I was going to jump with was the coach at the Air Force Academy of the jump team. And I thought, well, I'm going to be safe here. You know, this guy, wow, yeah. Well, about a week before I was supposed to jump, his chute malfunctioned. He hit the ground and broke his hip. I'm thinking, am I going to jump out of an airplane now? And it didn't take me long to say, hell yes, I am. So when I got to the airport for the jump, this guy was there who was from Atlanta, and he was on vacation, and there he was. And he was kind of scruffy looking, had this big beard and long hair, had on a tank top and these baggy, looked like pajama bottoms, sandals, his all toenails were all painted different colors. And I'm going to strap myself to this guy and jump out of an airplane. And he was singing and dancing while he was getting me all geared up and everything. So we got in the plane and we got almost up to jump height. And he slapped me on the shoulder and said, how you doing, buddy? I said, I'm fine. How are you? And he said, oh, I doubled my medication this morning. I'll be okay. I'm tied to this guy and we're about to... And I asked him if he had ever done hang gliding. He said, no, man, that stuff's dangerous. So I felt better. But that was the mystery that I stepped into. I didn't say, I got to understand this mystery. I want to know all about it first. I gave myself to it, and it was wonderful. And I have yet to have an experience where I followed the intuition of the mystery and was disappointed. There have been some times when I barged ahead thinking I'm going to do this. Didn't turn out so well. But to my memory, to my recollection, any time that I have gone out and given myself to the mystery of the world and said, I will follow whatever comes forward. I have ears, I hear, I have eyes, I see. It's been wonderful. So again, I challenge you this week to set aside your other stuff just for a week. And don't put it too far. You can always reach out and touch it. That makes you feel better. But put it aside and allow room. Remember, our affirmation is, I allow space for the unknown and the unknowable. Just allow space for it. That's all you need to do. And then keep your eyes and your ears open and see what happens. And as that mystery begins to reveal itself, you say, ah, there's a ray of light. Ah, there's something new I've never seen before. It's a new sound I've never heard before. I've never seen anything manifested like this before. I've never heard anybody speak like this person is speaking before. All kinds of doors open because there's so much mystery in this world and all around us. So I invite you to give yourself to the mystery this week. Allow room in your life for it. Go out into the world with child's eyes and a child's heart, and a child's consciousness, being open to the wonder that is there. I want to close with a poem I wrote quite some time ago, and I didn't realize it was actually a poem exactly about mystery. And I will been a little bit of a disclaimer. My son read it and he said, gee, Dad, that's weird even for you. It's a mystery. The night moves like a crystalline, dark, liquid torrent through the maze of my mind. I feel the ripples of power as infertile unlight, this mysterious, unrehearsed surge pulsates with a precise abandon. Shapes and images and sounds fueled by ever-expanding momentum scatter shards of thirsty moments across my panting memory. I recall an unceremonious invitation, I to the night to me. Come, let us ride, let oneness be, dissolving all boundaries, all walls. The light knows, like an intimate, aromatic presence, all the maps of my mind. Go out and immerse yourself in mystery this week. God bless you.
Okay, who has the mystery of that alarm going off? Somebody, did you get it? Somebody help her, or him, or it. It's gone. It's still ringing in my ears. That's great. Things happen. When you have professional musicians with an ear that hears, he can pick up anything. Way to go. It's okay, really. It's perfect for our day of mystery. All of us have had those occasions where, you know, something with that phone is resisting. But now is our time to enjoy giving. And truly that giving is a joy. So we want to remember that life and all of its mysteries is ours to mold and do. And so if you haven't gone online to add Unity Church of Pompano Beach to your charitable giving on smile.amazon, it's as easy as that, smile.amazon.com. And it's not a different website from your regular Amazon. It's just a different page. Some of us have turned into pretty good shoppers online. Even our office here gets things online. All of that adds up. So it takes just less than 5 minutes to list us. And then all of your shopping, you just start there, smile.amazon, and all your usual apps are there too. So I encourage you to do it if you're doing any internet shopping at all. So let's take our gifts today. Know that we joyfully receive, we joyfully give. We thank you here for your presence, your service, and your giving to us financially. So let's bless it together. With a grateful heart, we acknowledge God as source of all that is. Today, we let go of any concern of lack and allow good to unfold in our lives. Good is ours. Good and more good is ours. An ever-increasing good is ours. Everywhere we go, we see this good. We feel it. We experience it. We freely give it, and it multiplies itself around us. And so it is. Amen.